Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I am Pastor Steve, and this is the 155th edition of Word for Word here on Eurofolk Radio. And today we will be covering 2 Kings 21 through 23. And then tomorrow we will do chapter 24 and 25 and finish up 2 Kings and then get into Isaiah, which is a big, long project. And we will be in Isaiah for some time. And this show is for Monday, January the 16th. Now on the 20th is Inauguration Day. I will have pre-recorded this week because I may have to go on live or something if I get a call. Never know with EFR, but I want to get this week as far as word for word knocked out. I'm pre-recording ahead of time, and I have several wake-up call shows to do. I will have a wake-up call show just prior to the inauguration, and it's exciting times. We just don't know what's going to come up. So let's get into this and get started on chapter 21 of the book of 2 Kings. This is a reiteration of all the stuff that's going on with all these kings. Good ones and bad ones and mediocre ones and the history, okay? A lot of it is in Chronicles as well. Verse 1 of chapter 21, and you can reference 2 Chronicles chapter 33 verse 1 for this one, as well as I said, Chronicles has a lot of this in it as well. It's duplicated. Okay. Twelve years of age was Manasseh when he began, to reign. And reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Chephsibah. Chephsiy hyphen capital BAHH. Number 2657. Verse 2, and he acted evilly in the sight of Yahweh after the abominations, 8441, and that's concerning the false gods, of the nation whom Yahweh dispossessed before the children of Israel. Hezekiah or Kizkiyahu had fixed things up, and this guy's tearing them down again. Verse 3, he restored the high places which Kizkiyahu, his father, had destroyed. And he raised up altars for Baal and made an Asherah pole and did as Achab, king of Israel, and worshiped all the hosts of the sky, that's the stars and the constellations and the Queen of Heaven and all the stuff we're commanded not to fool with. Okay? Verse 4. Worshipped all the hosts of the sky and served them. That's the moon, the sun, the moon goddess. Verse 4. And built he altars in the house of Yahweh, of which said Yahweh, in Jerusalem I shall put my name. So verse 4, you can directly reference 2 Samuel 7, 13. So he is big time insulting Yahweh by profaning his holy house. And verse 2 here, you can reference Jeremiah 15, verse 4. He just did very badly. He was wicked. And on to another page here. Verse 5 of chapter 21. And built he altars for all the host of the sky in the two courtyards of the house of Yahweh. Here's a bad one. Verse 6. And made he his son to pass through the fire, and that's child sacrifice by fire to Molech, more than likely, and soothsaying, 6049, and used divination, 5172, and dealt with necromancers, 178, and familiar spirits, that's conjured spirits, 3049, did he much wickedness, 7451, in the sight of Yahweh to provoke him to anger. This guy was bad. Verse 7, and set he a carved idol, 6459, of Asherah that he had made in the house, of which had said Yahweh to Dawid and to Shlomo his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen from all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. And forever turns out to be for a very long time. The word is olam. It doesn't actually, it can mean forever or for a very long time or until everlasting. It's got a number of uses, but obviously it means a very long time here because the temples were destroyed. He doesn't have his name there. His name is in our hearts. Verse 8, neither will I make the feet of Israel wander, 51:10, any more from the land which gave I to their ancestors. And here it goes. Here's the qualifier. Only, 7535, if, 518, they will guard and do all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law, 8451, that's the Torah, that my servant Moshe commanded them. Well, obviously, the qualifier has kicked in. They are not following Yahweh's laws as given to Moshe. So the conditional if has applied. Verse 9, but they heard not, in other words, they would not listen, and Manasseh led them astray, that's one word, 8582, to do more evil than did the nations whom destroyed Yahweh before the children of Israel. Whew. Man. Verse 10, and spoke Yahweh by his servants, the prophets, saying, because Manasseh, king of Yehudah, has done these abominations, that's worshiping false gods, and has done wickedly, that's one word, 7489, above all that the Emori did, that's the Amorites, which were before him, and has made to sin Yehuda also with his idols. Verse 12, therefore, thus says Yahweh Elohe Israel, that's Yahweh the God of Israel, behold, I am bringing calamity, that's 7451, that's another use, for evil or harm, okay, upon Yerushalayim and Yehuda, that all hearing of it, both his ears shall tingle. 6750. On verse 12, you can reference Jeremiah chapter 19, verse 3. Verse 13, this is still Yahweh speaking, and I shall stretch over Jerusalem the measuring line, that's one word, 6957, of Shomeron, and the plumb line, that's another word, 4949, of the house of Achab, and I will wipe 4229 as cleaning off a dish. I will wipe Yerushalayim as one wipes a dish, 6747, wiping it, okay, and turning it upon its face. In other words, going to turn it upside down. Verse 14, and I will forsake 5203, the remnant of my inheritance, and give them into the hand of their hated enemies. Okay. They've forsaken Yahweh, so he's going to forsake them. They're worshiping all these false gods. And they shall become that which is plundered. That's one word. That's 957. And booty, 4933, to all their hated enemies. Let me get a little drink of coffee here, folks. Ah, there we go. That's really good. Nice and hot. Verse 15, because they have acted evilly in my sight and have provoked me to anger from the day their ancestors came forth from Mitzrayim until this day. In other words, he has had enough. Very soon, because we are in dispersion because of this stuff, the faithful of us that are the remnant are going to be separated from the rest. Now, I hate to say this, including a lot of Israelites that won't follow. We're going to be separated. And if you read 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, you will understand what happens when Yeshua Messiah comes back. He's going to destroy those that don't know Elohim. That would be the divine being. And that includes those of Israel that are in apostasy. If they don't know him, just because they have the bloodline, it's not going to save them. He's gonna save his remnant, those of us that have come over to Yahweh, abandoned Judeo-Christianity, are keeping the feasts and the fast and the food laws, and doing what it says in the Torah, following the command of Yeshua Messiah, because that's all he taught was Torah. We're following his commands. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Okay. Well, we love him and we are keeping his commandments. Verse 16. Moreover, poured out Manasseh very much innocent, 5355, blood, until he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. Apart, 905, from his sin by which made he to sin Yehuda in acting evilly in the sight of Yahweh. In other words, he killed a lot of people. Verse 17. Now the rest of the affairs of Manasseh and all that he did and his sin that he sinned, are they not written in the book of the words of the days of the kings of Yehuda? Again, that's Chronicles. You can reference 2 Chronicles 33, verses 1 through 20. Verse 18, and slept Manasseh with his ancestors and was buried in the garden of his own house, in the garden of Uzzah, and reigned Amon, 526, his son, in his place. So he died and the boy took over, his boy. Verse 19, 22 years of age was Amon when began he to reign, and reigned he 2 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Meshulameth, 4922, daughter of Karutz, 2743, of Yothabah, 3192. And here's another bad one, verse 20. And acted he evilly in the sight of Yahweh, as his father Manasseh did. Verse 21. And walked he in all the ways that had walked his father, and served the idols that his father had served, and bowed down to them. Verse 22. And forsook he Yahweh Elohe, his ancestors, and walk not in the way of Yahweh. That's Yahweh, the God of his ancestors. And the servants of Amon conspired against him and slew the king in his own house. So he was so bad that his own servants killed him. Verse 24. Now see, the people of the land were following along with all this evil. And the people of the land slew all that had conspired against King Amon, and the people of the land made to reign Yoshiahu, that's Josiah in your King James, number 2977, his son in his place. Verse 25, now the rest of the affairs of Amon, which he did, are they not written in the book of the words of the days of the kings of Yehuda? And you can reference 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 21 through 25 for that. Verse 26, and he was buried in his sepulcher in the garden of Uzzah, and reigned Yoshiahu his son in his place. So that ends chapter 21. Doesn't need a lot of explanation as far as chapter notes. It's just very straightforward. This is verse 1 of chapter 22. 8 years of age was Yoshiahu when began he to reign, and reigned he 31 years in Jerusalem. He was just a boy. And his mother's name was Yedida, 3040, Yediydah, daughter of Adiah, 5718, of Botskoth, 1218. Okay, here's a good one. Verse 2, and acted he uprightly in the sight of Yahweh, and walked in all the ways of Dawid, his ancestor, and turned aside not to the right hand or to the left. Verse 3. It came to be in the 18th year of King Yoshiahu, sent the king Shaphan, 8227, son of Atsalyahu, 683, son of Meshulam, the scribe, to the house of Yahweh, saying, verse 4, go up to Hilkiahu, the high priest, that he may completely count 8552, the silver which is brought into the house of Yahweh, which the guards of the doorway have gathered from the people. Verse 5. And let them give it into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight, 6485, of the house of Yahweh, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of Yahweh, to repair, 2388, and that word literally means to make strong the breaches of the house, all the damage that was done, fix it right, in other words. Verse 6, to the craftsmen, 2796, and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Verse 7, howbeit there was no reckoning, 2803, made with them of the money that was given into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. In other words, they didn't make them account for it in writing, because they were all honest men and were working hard and were doing wonderful work. And you can reference 2 Kings chapter 12, verses 15 and 16, concerning verse 7 of chapter 22. More coffee. Verse 8. And Hilkiahu the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the scroll of the Torah in the house of Yahweh. In other words, all of them had been torn up except for this one. They found a scroll of the Torah in the house of Yahweh, and gave Hilkiahu the scroll to Shaphan, and read he it. Verse 9, and came Shaphan the scribe to the king, and returned word to the king, and said, your servants have poured out the money found in the house, and have given it into the hands of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of Yahweh. Verse 10, and told Shaphan the scribe the king, saying, Hilkiahu the priest has given me a scroll, and read Shaphan it before the king. You can reference 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 18. Now, let's stop here. Remember, they haven't had a scroll of the Torah for a long time. Everything had fallen into disrepair, and they've gotten into idol worship and all this other nonsense. So, nobody's actually heard the whole Torah. Nobody read it. Verse 11. And it came to be, when heard the king the words of the Torah, that rent he his clothes. In other words, he tore his clothes in grief and sorrow that Israel had been disobeying. Verse 12, and commanded the king Hilkiahu the priest, and Akikam, 296, son of Shaphan, and Achbor, 5907, sons of Micaiah, 4320, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, 6222, a servant of the king, saying, verse 13, go, inquire of Yahweh for me and for the people and for all Yehuda concerning the words of this scroll that was found. Because great is the wrath of Yahweh that is kindled against us, because our ancestors have not listened to the words of this scroll, to act according to all that which is written concerning us. Now let's stop here. How many generations in the world today of true Israel, I'm talking about Israel in America and Britain and France and Germany and Denmark and South Africa, how many of us are really listening to the words of the scroll of the Torah? We've got a lot of dissension about minor things. But as I said in my wake-up call show, all these little things act up. Now you either believe the Torah of Yahweh and obey it, or you do not. If you want to set stuff aside, that's on you. But the Torah was given to us in totality. We have it. We do not have the freedom to pick and choose that which we will obey. If you are going to obey the Torah to the best of your ability, obey all of it. Don't pick and choose what you like. That's what happened back then, and it is happening again now with our people, Israel, today. So, that's a word of warning to those that will hear, and those that won't hear and want to be stubborn and stiff-necked, you're on your own. Okay? You do whatever you want. But be prepared to pay the price. Verse 14. So went Hilkiahu the priest, and Akikam, and Achbor, and Shaphan, and Asaiah unto Kulda, 2468, the prophetess, 5031, the wife of Shalom, son of Tikwa. That's T-I-Q-W-A-H, 8616, son of Karkas, 2745, keeper of the wardrobe, a royal wardrobe, and the wardrobe of the priests. And dwelt she in Jerusalem in the second district, 4932. It was divided up into districts, like counties or... whatever, you know, it's second district. They had districts. And spoke they with her. And they did have female prophets. Miriam was a prophetess. Deborah was a judge and a prophet. Verse 15, and said she to them, thus says Yahweh, Elohe of Israel, that's the God of Israel, say to the man that sent you to me, thus says Yahweh, behold, I will bring calamity upon this place and upon all the inhabitants of it, all the words of the scroll which the king of Yehuda has read. Verse 17, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense to other Elohim, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands, that's idols made by men, therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. It had gone too far. They went too far. That's what's going to happen now. As it was then, it is now. The remnant is pulling itself away from those of Israel that are disobedient and will not listen. There's going to be a lot of Israel that's going to be numbered among the goats. I hate to say that, but that is how it is. Verse 18, but to the king of Yehuda, which sent you to inquire of Yahweh, thus shall you say to him, thus says Yahweh Elohe Israel, the words which you have heard. Verse 19, because your heart was tender, in other words, receptive, that's 7401, and you have humbled yourself before Yahweh. Humbled yourself is 3665. When heard you what I spoke against this place and against the inhabitants of it, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and have rent your clothes and wept before me, because he was grieving because his people had been disobedient. I also have heard. He heard his weeping, uttered Yahweh. And verse 19, you can reference 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 27. Verse 20, behold, therefore, I will gather you unto your ancestors, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. Okay, he's not going to have to go through this. And your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I shall bring upon this place. And returned the word to the king, the word of Yahweh. And 22, Yoshiyahu is the last good king of Yehuda. The 10 northern tribes at this point are already in captivity and will later go into full dispersion. The tribes of Yehuda and the remnant of Binyamin will follow later, but for now, the good king, Yoshiyahu, will do the final acts of righteousness in Yehuda, as you will see in chapter 23, and then he dies in battle. And the three kings that follow were evildoers, and finally Yehuda is going to be taken captive into Babel. All of this was foretold by Yahweh through his prophets, and his word never fails. So this is the last good one. Let's get into chapter 23. And it's a long one, so I'm going to have to hit it pretty hard. Verse 1 of chapter 23. And sent the king, and gathered they unto him all the elders of Yehuda and Jerusalem. Verse 2. And went the king up into the house of Yahweh, and all the men of Yehuda and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And read he in their ears, in other words, so they could all hear, the words of the scroll of the covenant found in the house of Yahweh. Verse 3, and stood the king by a pillar, and made a covenant before Yahweh to walk after Yahweh, and to guard his commandments and his testimonies, and his statutes with all their heart and all their being, to stand upon the word of this covenant that were written in the scroll. And all the people stood to the covenant. Verse 4. And commanded the king Hilkiahu, the high priest, and the priest of the second rank, and the guards of the doorway, to bring forth from the temple of Yahweh all the vessels that were made for Baal, and for the pole of Asherah, and for all the host of the sky, and burned he them outside of Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them to Bethel. And verse 23, or chapter 23, verses 4 through 6, you can reference 2 Kings 21:3 and 2 Chronicles 33:3. All the stuff that had been made in the past was destroyed. Now, I will cover that in my sermon show this week, or last week, rather. I will have covered it. I'm got a little ahead of myself here. I'm going to do the thing on idols and all of that. I'm pre-recording this ahead of that wake-up call. But I will have hit that on the 12th of January. Verse 5, put he an end, 7673, to the idolatrous priest, 3649, that's Kamarim, he killed him, okay, that the kings of Yehuda had permitted to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Yehuda, and in the places surrounding Jerusalem, those also that burn incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the host of the sky. He killed all those people. And that's what's going to happen when Yeshua comes back. All these idolaters are going to be destroyed. Verse 6, and brought he out the pole of Asherah from the house of Yahweh outside of Jerusalem unto the Wadi Kidron, and burned it in the Wadi Kidron, and pulverized, 1854, pulverized it small to powder, and cast a powder of it upon the graves of the children of the people. And broke he down the houses of the male temple prostitutes, 6945, those are Kadeshim, that's one word in Hebrew, that were by the house of Yahweh, where the woman wove houses, 1004, the meaning of houses here is uncertain, okay, for the pole of Asherah, and brought he all the idolatrous priests from the cities of Yehuda, and defiled, 2930, the high places where the idolatrous priest had burned incense, from Geba to Be'er Sheba, and broke down the high places of the gates that were in the entrance of the gate of Yeshua, the commandant of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. In other words, he was wiping out all the idolatry. Verse 9, Nevertheless, the idolatrous priest came not up to the altar of Yahweh in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brothers. And he's talking about apostate priests of Aharonic lineage of the tribe of Levi. These were real priests, but they had become idolaters. Verse 10, and defiled he Topheth, 8612, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that is Gay Hinnom, that's 2011. That's Gehenna. Okay. That's what they call hell. Nope. verse 23:10. You can reference 2 Chronicles 28, verse 3. And part A, you can reference Jeremiah 7, verse 31, 19, verses 1 through 6, and 32, verse 35. And part B, you can reference Leviticus 18, verse 21. And defiled he Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. 4:4:3:2. No more child sacrifice. Verse 11. And put he an end to the horses that the kings of Yehuda had given to the son. These were cast horses. At the entrance to the house of Yahweh by the chamber of Nethan-Melech, 5:4:1:4, the eunuch that was in the court area, 6:5:0:3, and burned the chariots of the sun with fire. These were the horses that drew the chariots of the sun for sun worship. There, verse 12. And you can reference 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 5, and 2 Chronicles 33, verse 5. And the altars that were upon the top of the upper chamber of Achaz, which the kings of Yehuda had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courtyards in the house of Yahweh, the king tore down and broke down from there and cast the dust of them into the Wadi Kidron. Verse 13, and the high places which were before Jerusalem, this is verse 13, you can reference 1 Kings 11, verse 7, that were on the right hand of the hill of corruption, 4:8:8:9, which Shlomo the king of Israel had built for Ashtoreth. That's also Ishtar, same deity, 6:2:5:3. The abomination of the Sidoni, that's the Zidonians, and for Chemosh, 3:6:4:5, the abomination of Moab, they called these gods abominations. And for Milcom, 4:4:4:5, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. Okay. Verse 14. And broke he in pieces the sacred pillars, and cut down the poles of Asherah, and filled their places with the bones of Adam. Verse 15. Moreover, that would really be defiled. That was unclean. Verse 15, moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place that Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who made to sin Israel, had made, both that altar and the high place broke he down and burned the high place and pulverized, 1854, pulverized it to dust and burned the pole of Asherah. Verse 16, you can reference 1 Kings 13:2 here. And as Josiah turned around, saw he the sepulchres that were there in the hill, and sent and took the bones from the sepulchres and burned them upon the altar and defiled it according to the word of Yahweh, which the man of Elohim had proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Verse 17, then said he, what gravestone, 6:7:2:5, is that I see? And we can reference verse 17 in 1 Kings 13, verses 30 through 32. And the men of the city said to him, the sepulcher is of the man of Elohim that came from Yehuda and proclaimed these things that you have done against the altar of Beth-El. Verse 18, and said he, let him rest, 5:1:1:7. Let no man shake his bones, 5:1-8, as disturb. So they let his bones alone, 4:4-2, with the bones of the prophet that came from Shomeron. Verse 19, and all the houses of the high places that were in the cities of Shomeron, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke to anger Yahweh, took away Yoshiyahu and did to them according to all the acts that he had done, in Bethel. Verse 20, and slew he all the priests of the high places that were there upon the altars, and burned the Adam's bones upon them, and returned to Jerusalem. Verse 21, and commanded the king all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto Yahweh Elohim, that's our God, as it is written in the scroll of this covenant. In other words, in the Torah. Okay. Verse 22. You can reference 2 Chronicles 35, verse 18. Surely there was not observed such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Yehuda. Pardon me. Verse 23, but in the 18th year of King Yoshiyahu, this Passover was observed to Yahweh in Jerusalem. Verse 24, moreover, the necromancers, 178, and familiar spirits, 3049, and teraphim, those are household idols, 8655, and the idols, those are cast idols, 1544, and all the abominations that were seen in the land of Yehuda and in Jerusalem removed Yoshiyahu, that he might carry out the words of the teachings, that's the Torah, which were written in the scroll that found Hilkiyahu the priest in the house of Yahweh. Verse 25, and like him was no king before him that turned to Yahweh with all his heart and with all his being and with all his might according to all the teachings of Moshe, that's the Torah. Neither after him arose there like him. Verse 26, notwithstanding, turned Yahweh not from the fierceness of his great wrath that kindled his anger against Yehuda over all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him with. Verse 27, and said Yahweh, I will remove Yehuda from before me, as I have removed Israel, dispersion, and will reject, 3988, this city, Jerusalem, that I have chosen, and the house that I said of, my name shall be there. He's going to reject it. Bada bing, bada boom. Going to reject it. Verse 28. Now the rest of the affairs of Yoshiyahu and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the words of the days of the king of Yehuda? Verse 29, in his days went up Pharaoh Necho, 6549, king of Mitzrayim, against the king of Asher to the river Parath, 6578, that's the Euphrates, and went King Yoshiyahu to meet him in battle, and he slew him at Megiddo when he had seen him. In other words, Yoshiyahu got killed. Verse 30, and his servants carried him in a chariot dead from Megiddo, and brought him to Jerusalem and buried him in his own sepulcher. And the people of the land took Jehoahaz, 3059, the son of Yoshiyahu, and anointed him and made him ruler in his father's place. Now, you can reference verse 30 and 2 Chronicles 36, verse 1. Verse 31. 23 years of age was Jehoahaz when began he to reign, and reigned he 3 months in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Kamutal, 2537, daughter of Yirmiyahu, 3414, of Libna, 3841. That's Jeremiah. Well, that's not the prophet Jeremiah. That's another Jeremiah. More than one people have these first names. Verse 32, and acted he evilly in the sight of Yahweh, as all that his ancestors had done. Verse 33, and Pharaoh Necho imprisoned him at Riblah in the land of Kamath, that he might not reign in Jerusalem, and put he that land to indemnity, that's tribute, okay, 6066, of 100 talents of silver and 1 talent of gold. Verse 34, and Pharaoh Necho made to reign Eliakim, 471, the son of Yoshiahu, different son, in the place of Yoshiahu, his father. They wouldn't let that other king reign. And changed his name to Jehoiakim, 3079. And took away Jehoahaz, and went he to Mitzrayim, and died there. Verse 35, and Jehoiakim gave the silver and the gold to Pharaoh, but he taxed, 6186, the land to give the money upon the command of Pharaoh. He exacted, 5065, the silver and the gold of the people of the land, of every man according to his valuation, 6187, to give it to Pharaoh Necho. Verse 36, 25 years of age was Jehoiakim when began he to reign, and reigned he 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zebuda, 2080, daughter of Pedaiah, 6305, from Rumah, 7316. You can reference verse 36 in Jeremiah 22, verses 18 and 19, chapter 26, verse 1 through 6, chapter 35, verses 1 through 19. See, he had a different mother than the other brother, Jehoahaz. So he was different. Verse 37, and acted he evilly in the sight of Yahweh according to all that his ancestors had done. That's the end of chapter 23. Now, after the death of Yoshiyahu, the last good king, the downhill slide of Yehuda was going to be very rapid. It was just going to go to hell in a handbasket, literally. So tomorrow, on the 17th, we will finish up 2 Kings. There's a lot of things in these chapters that pertain to today. We're watching the downhill slide of this nation. Rapid fire. And this nation is in apostasy. We are not obeying the commands of Yahweh. We have gotten away from that. The churches have been corrupted, just like the temple was corrupted back in Jerusalem. Same deal, different day, folks. Same deal. We're coming down to the end of the road here. The period of grace is about to end. Yeshua's coming back soon. You can see it in all the signs. I'm not going to bash you over the head with everything. You all know what's going on. You see what's going on. What are we going to do about it? Well, the first thing we have to do is get ourselves spiritually prepared for the return of our Master Yeshua Messiah. If you're sitting on a fence and you're trying to put it off, you don't have a lot of time left, sports fans. You know, turn off the football and basketball games and study Scripture. Because if you are not in a close relationship with Yahweh, you're going to be numbered among the goats. You know, if you're not even trying in a remotest possible way to obey, and I'm not talking about going to church on the day of the sun god, that's not going to get you anywhere. That's a waste of time. That's false teachings and apostasy. That's what they're teaching you. And we warned you and warned you and warned you about that. And a lot of you have listened, a lot of you haven't. Far more haven't. So what are we to do? I mean, I'm a sinner saved by grace, and He has completely reshaped me and my life, healed my body, given me spiritual strength and insight, given me a job to do for Him. Yahweh has blessed me. I know firsthand of His blessings, and I testify to that. I want you to know that firsthand. I want you to be able to testify to it. Not lip service, but actual doing of the word. Being obedient to the word. Just talking about it isn't going to do you a thing. I'm no great shakes. I'm no hero. I'm not anything great and wonderful. I'm a sinner saved by grace because he loves us. And he can, if you repent and you really repent and turn aside from what you're doing and do all righteous stuff and do new things for Him, He's going to bless you. He's going to forgive you through Yeshua Messiah. I want to be part of this new covenant. I proclaim Him as the Son of Yahweh. You got to do it. You got to do it. You got to do it. You can't just talk around it and mumble and stumble. You got to start walking the walk and let other people see Him in you so you can testify to the fact that He has come and He's coming back soon. I can't stress that enough. I don't want to see you left out blowing in the wind. I don't. I want you to be blessed. Well, that about wraps it up for this hour. I'm coming down to the end of things here. And I'll say, may Yahweh bless and keep you. And Shalom Aleichem. I'll talk to you tomorrow on the 17th when we'll finish up 2 Kings. Praise Yahweh and Shalom Aleichem.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the against the